Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen. We're back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio podcast at iHeartRadio and Radio MD and a number of other places. Download us every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Today I have a special guest, a great squash player. That's right, I used to play too, but he was one of my heroes, as well as someone who changed a lot of what we did because of his work on aspirin. I think this is also going to change what we do, his work on toothpaste. Dr. Hennekin, thanks very much. And first, are you still playing squash?
Mike, I have not played squash in 20 years, but you were one of my heroes, too, not only in cardiology, but what you've done with transmitting the most up-to-date information to the general public, and as a highly ranked squash player in the U.S., it was been a pleasure to know
were,
you.
We both were when, it turns out in 1999, I gave up squash because of real age, and it became popular. I had to get extra time. I've got one more book in me after this, and then I'm going to go back to squash. So I expect in 2018, after a 19-year hiatus, I'm going to go back and try and play squash competitively.
Well, but by coincidence, I stopped playing the same year you did. I've been playing doubles tennis since then.
Well,
anyway, it's
out,
a pleasure to be here with you.
Oh, it's great. As I said, you're one of my heroes. So
well, you're one of my heroes,
you,
too.
You pointed out how important inflammation was to heart disease and stroke, and probably it's important to brain dysfunction and cancer and other things that inflammation is associated with. Let's review the data. What is the data on aspirin and heart disease and stroke? And should all of us guys over the age of, let's say, 70 or 60 or 50 be on aspirin? What about women?
Well, you raised two crucial issues. First, with regard to inflammation, I was quite gratified that the New England Journal of Medicine about a month or two ago ranked the paper that I did with Paul Richter and others in 1997 as its most influential paper of the last 20 years. That's a paper that suggested that inflammation was a predictor of risk of cardiovascular disease, and that also aspirin, even at low doses, has an anti-inflammatory effect. But
and
the question about aspirin and its use, though, should be viewed in the context of what we know about the secondary prevention or people with existing disease. Here, the risk of occlusion is high, and the risk of significant bleeding in comparison is low. So it's very easy to make general guidelines to prescribe aspirin generally in secondary prevention and during acute occlusive events in the heart or brain. But now in primary prevention in healthy people, the absolute benefit is much lower, but the absolute risk is about the same as it is in secondary prevention. So I've worked with the Oxford group on the worldwide collaborative meta-analyses in the primary prevention trials, and we're of the view that this should be an individual judgment between the clinician and each of his or her patients, and it should weigh the absolute risk of occlusion against the absolute risk of bleeding. And this should be regardless of the age or the gender of the person. It's just that, obviously, at a given age, men have higher risks of occlusion than women. So the general guidelines tend to suggest that when the absolute risk is 10% or greater at 10 years, then that would indicate a net benefit of aspirin. And this would be beginning to consider men at 50 or women at 60. But even here, there are no ironclad rules, so I think general guidelines are premature. I want to see it in the hands of the healthcare provider making an individual judgment based on the total risk of occlusion, balancing that against the total risk of bleeding and other side effects.
And we're going to go back into this in our second interview, which will be in a couple of weeks. But let me go now to the other point on aspirin, and then go quickly to toothpaste, sure. Which is the weak. So the other benefits, of course, of aspirin are a decrease in certain cancers, such as colon, rectal, and esophageal cancer, as well as a number of others. So there is that risk for the and benefit, with only one risk, that is the, yeah. the risk of bleeding to consider. So we'll come so back
basically
and talk
my,
about that.
Yeah, my view of this is that the randomized evidence is clear that aspirin prevents polyps. It prevents the conversion of polyps benign into malignant and reduces the risk of colorectal cancer. And that's randomized data. The other evidence for the other cancers are more observational. There's some randomized evidence suggestive. So my view has been that the clinician, or to add this into his or her equation, so let's give a hypothetical of a man 50 years old whose risk is, absolute risk is 8% of an occlusion, but he has a strong family history of colon cancer, then this would push me over the edge to prescribe aspirin at a younger age. I just picked the age of 50 because that's the age in men where the 10% risk becomes highly prevalent, and in women it becomes more prevalent over age 60. But I think it's an individual judgment for the clinician, and she should weigh, he or she should weigh all of the benefits against all of the risks.
Now, some of the data on toothpaste, it's hard to say that toothpaste has much risk, or flossing has much risk, or preventing periodontal disease, but there's been a lot of epidemiologic data about that being associated with inflammation and heart disease and stroke. Tell us what that data is and what this new data on toothpaste really means.
Well, I remember Joe Albert, an eminent cardiologist and the editor of the American Journal of Medicine, he wrote an editorial to accompany our small randomized trial in which he said, can this toothpaste prevent heart attacks? And he went back to his childhood in New Haven when his father, a dentist, told him to look in the mouth of some of the patients and said, this is going to have an impact on their heart disease risk. So he's been aware of this. It's been in the literature in observational epidemiologic studies. But our study is the first demonstration that a toothpaste will reduce inflammation as measured by C-reactive protein. In that New England Journal paper I referred to earlier, that was the paper in which we demonstrated that C-reactive protein was a accurate measure of inflammation and predicted heart attacks and strokes. So now we're part of the way there, that this toothpaste seems to reduce C-reactive protein. Working with Pat McBride and Dave Demetz, an investigator-initiated grant, we're going to try to test the hypothesis that actually there'll be a reduction in clinical cardiovascular events.
I should say that Dr. Hennekin is the preeminent researcher in this area. This is the toothpaste, this toothpaste HD. We'll talk more about that in 2 weeks on podcast.
Yes,
podcast 816. Go ahead. Tell me about the toothpaste again.
Well, the toothpaste is called Plaque HD. It's a plaque identifying toothpaste with Targatol technology that also has in it some constituents that may soften the plaque and make it easier to remove. So in this randomized trial, patients were assigned to either, they were assigned to the identical regimen with either this toothpaste or an identical toothpaste that was the kind that you would get over the counter. And we demonstrated this novel, for the first time, reduction in C-reactive protein. Now, whether that will convert into reductions of clinical events, we have to have the data to do that. So that's why Professors McBride, Demetz, and myself, and Professor Carla Evans are going to try to launch a large-scale trial to look at this in reducing clinical cardiovascular events.
I'm smiling broadly. Dr. Hennekin will be back with us in 2 weeks on Podcast 816. Excuse me, and we'll explore that relationship more, and with, in fact, the toothpaste that may save your life, Plaque HD. Tune in then. I'm sorry we're running out of time today, but come back in 2 weeks. Thanks very much for listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast.